Have you ever been in church listening to someone read a lesson from Scripture and then realized that you zoned out and missed it? Now, maybe this does not happen to you, but if it does, you are not alone. It happens to everyone, even preachers, from time to time. I recall one time when it happened to me and I got caught. I was at the Bishop's Ranch in the California wine country, sitting in that stunning little Spanish mission-style chapel with the bishop and about 30 of my colleagues in the ordination process. Someone was reading a passage from Isaiah, the one we hear at Christmas, about God's big vision. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. Famous stuff. During the lesson, I was distracted and very busy thinking about my imposter syndrome in a room full of gifted people. So, of course, for the homily, the bishop asked us to each comment on the passage. The extroverts jumped right in, and then the introverts took their turn. I was planning to pass entirely because I had only heard about one line, "They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain." Soon it became clear that I was the only one left who had not said anything, and I tried really hard to disappear into the woodwork, but Bishop Swing asked me directly, "Kate, what do you think?" I think I fumbled through something about ecological work on God's holy mountain. I have no idea. But it was not an impressive comment, I can tell you that. Now, I offer that little story in solidarity with anyone who ever misses the details of a scripture lesson during church. I find John's gospel particularly difficult to hear in real time. We often hear long passages out of context, which can be hard to follow. Now, there are some famous lines in John that are easy to catch, like, "The Word became flesh and lived among us," or, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you," or, "From today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. It's famously beautiful, and it arguably captures the whole gospel in one verse. It's even on billboards once you get out of town, so it's easier for us to catch, perhaps, than the rest of the passage that we just heard. At that same retreat years ago, Bishop Swing talked about the joy of spending time with Scripture over the years and delving more deeply into the details. When we do that, he said, particularly with John's gospel, there are treasures to be found. John 3:16 is just one verse in a longer passage that is well worth the effort of mining for an abundance of meaning. Now, I won't put you on the spot today. We're going to do this one together. John 3:16, it's part of an exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews who came under the cover of night to talk to Jesus. As we overhear the two men talking, we are flooded with strange images in chapter 3. There is a wind blowing where it will, rebirth from above by water and spirit, and a third cryptic image. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. It's no wonder that Nicodemus struggled to understand their conversation. Take the words, "You must be born from above." Rebirth itself is a strange idea. We tend to assume that Jesus is talking about baptism, about being saved through that ritual. And I think Nicodemus would have heard something different. The prophet Ezekiel had foretold a time when God would gather Israel back together and give them a new heart. "I will sprinkle clean water on you," says the Lord, "and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. You will be my people, and I will be your God." This isn't just about individual baptism or personal salvation, which I think is what those billboards assume. Jesus is talking about God finally fulfilling Ezekiel's vision. Now, Nicodemus would have known the story of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. The Israelites were being bitten by poisonous snakes, and so Moses made a bronze serpent and lifted it up on a pole so that they could look at it and live. In other words, looking directly at the thing that was killing them could save them. Now, Jesus draws a parallel from that event to his own crucifixion. The very thing that would kill him, the awful reality of human sin, culminating in the violent power of the Roman Empire, is something we have to look at in ourselves and in our world in order to free ourselves from it. The very worst parts of human nature must be brought out of the shadows into the light. Because it is only by looking at them honestly that we can be healed from them. As ever, John's gospel has layers upon layers of meaning. That would be enough for a teacher of Israel to hear in one night. But there was something more. Jesus continued, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." God loved the world enough to send Jesus to us, to know God through him, and to have eternal life. Here, too, a vast constellation of meaning, and an offer that we can touch eternal truths and live abundant lives here and now. This is a theme that runs throughout John's gospel. As we spend more time with it, we can begin to imagine our own lives without being captive to sin and having abundant eternal life now in God. If by chance all you heard this morning was, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life," that is sufficient good news for a lifetime. That verse tells us that Jesus came to us out of love and offers us eternal life today. But Jesus offered Nicodemus and us so much more that night. There is an invitation into rebirth from above by water and the Spirit. By that rebirth, we are invited into God's vision of living with a new heart and a new spirit, and finally not hurting or destroying on God's holy mountain. There is also an invitation to look squarely at human sin, as a poisonous snake lifted high on a pole, because we can only heal that which is brought out of the shadows and into the light. I think God knew that it would be hard to fit all of that on a billboard. And perhaps even hard to follow while listening in church. We would do well to catch just John 3:16. But as always, there is even more joy to be found by spending time with the text and mining it for its meaning. In the Gospel of John, there are always true treasures that await. Amen.